Football on Off the Ball.
I had a 2-year plan to get back to the Premier Division, and when Shelburne came knocking, I couldn't say no, so...
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Rugby Daily. With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome to Monday's Rugby Daily. My name is Richie McCormack. On the way, Andy Farrell has a headache, a tight head, ahead of Ireland's test with Argentina this Friday. We hear from new Ireland head of athletic performance, Alan Walters, reflecting on the defeat to the All Blacks. And Warren Gatland to get to the bottom of how the wrong player was sent on to replace Mason Grady yesterday against Fiji. Rugby Daily on Off the Ball is with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing. First up today, it turns out it was all Alan Walters' fault on Friday night.
I've got quite a terrible record. My first game working for South Africa, we lost to Wales. My first game working for England, we lost to Wales. I was glad we weren't playing Wales in the first game, but then, unfortunately, that was it. So hopefully back on track now.
Perhaps not quite, but Ireland's new head of athletic performance could only watch as Ireland fell to a 23-13 loss to the All Blacks. And that game has proved costly to Ireland's front row options. Ulster tight head Tom O'Toole will miss Friday's visit of the Pumas to the Aviva Stadium after suffering a head injury almost immediately after his introduction against New Zealand. Finlay Beelam was forced into rejoining the game almost as soon as he left it and will almost certainly start again against Felipe Contepomi's side. That's because doubts remain regarding the fitness of Tadhg Furlong, who watched from the stands against the All Blacks due to a hamstring injury. Leinster's Thomas Clarkson is part of the five-man annex to the main squad and could see himself promoted to the bench come Friday night. Regarding Ireland's performance against the All Blacks, Walters is confident in the Ireland squad's ability to bounce back.
It's interesting. It's how quickly you can summarise and understand what went wrong. You know, so I think there's a few clear things in Andy's mind and the coach's mind, and then the job is pretty quick, isn't it? You know, we came in yesterday, and we got started, and a lot of that was getting things or understand what didn't work. You know, so. Yeah, they've covered a few different areas, but pretty clear on what we need to get right in order for us to function and to be at our best. It's such a good group to reflect and to be honest. And so home truths, they're definitely the case. And no one shied away from it as well. You know, I've probably heard more voices in meetings this week than what I had in my first 2 weeks. You know, so everyone's pretty intent on correcting a few things.
Walters spent 6 years as Munster's head of athletic performance, so has plenty of experience of Irish rugby on which he's looking now to build.
Yeah, it's pretty special. You know, I think the chance to come back and work is incredibly special and something I couldn't pass. You know, there's, you think about it, when I was at Munster, I had a great 6 years at Munster, thoroughly enjoyable, and a lot of the people are still here. You know, the likes of Nick Winkleman, I worked well with him at Munster, but then the bonus now is getting to work with the likes of Simon Easterby, who I haven't worked with since I started back in the Scallies in 2005, you know, when he was the captain there. Paul, but there's a good sprinkling of people that I've worked with before and excited to work with quality operators as well, both in terms of players and management.
The Welshman says he was itching to return to Ireland.
You know, it was always a dream job, and Jason Cowman and colleagues, they've made such inroads, I think, and everyone can see that. I think I was always envious of the Irish system. When I left, I was looking back and going, they do things really, really well. And I liken it to, I think I've just stepped in somewhere now where people have spent a lot of time building this fantastic car, and I've been given the keys, and my job now is to not crash the car immediately. You know, that's how I see it. So it's a huge compliment to what's been done previously. And then I'm excited now to try and add and deliver on something to keep on pushing forward. You know?
While the age profile of the Ireland squad has been a renewed talking point in light of the All Blacks defeat, Alan Quinlan told this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast that Andy Farrell can't afford to make immediate wholesale changes.
You can't make 10 changes or 5 changes straight away. I think there's it has to be done strategically, right? Because what the problem you have now is you want to win next week. So I think, you have to pick a strong team and you can't take too many risks. Saw what Fiji did against Wales yesterday, if you give them opportunities. And, of course, what Australia did against England. So, look, I've always been of opinion these are all big games, but you know, the Six Nations will come around. You want to try and, you've got England and France in Dublin. There's an opportunity there to maybe try and win a championship. So you have to try and win every game. I think that there's a couple of players that as I said, you know, Ryan Baird, Craig Casey, not necessarily, and it's a bit unfair because, you know, there's a bit of talk about the impact off the bench and that they're age, older players, and some of that may be true. But I just think it had that feeling for me that when you see drop balls, you see uncharacteristic errors, that that kind of negativity and that kind of looking around for somebody to do it was happening throughout the team. So it wasn't their night. And New Zealand, on the other hand, grew in confidence and stature and aggression.
Yeah.
And
one of the things you're talking about is leadership, and we have a very experienced side.
Yeah, we have a very, very experienced side. But they all just were a little bit below where they normally have been for us.
You can hear much, much more from Alan Quinlan and indeed ex-All Blacks head half Colin Slade on this morning's Off The Ball Breakfast by becoming an Off The Ball member now. You can click offtheball.com/join to do just that. And the Dream Team are on Monday Night Rugby, that being Gerry Thornley and Andy Dunn.
Six Slater, GTR!
2:10 on a Sunday morning in Sydney. 11:10 on a Saturday night in Perth. 3:10 on a Saturday afternoon here in London.
Wales continue to make more unwanted history for the Principality. Yesterday's 24-19 defeat to Fiji in Cardiff equals Wales' longest losing streak of 10 matches. That was also the first time they've lost on home soil to Fiji, who beat Wales for just the second time in their history. Wales Day was compounded by the wrong replacement being sent on for Mason Grady in the first half of yesterday's game. The injured Cardiff winger was replaced by Scarlets fly half Sam Costello after just 18 minutes. Wales head coach Warren Gatland had wanted to send on Ellis Bevan in place of Grady.
Yeah, other teams get away with it, and we all of a sudden, you know, we have a 6-2 split, and we talked about one position where we potentially a little bit exposed could be on the wing, and we lose Mason pretty early in the game. So it was a little bit tough for us, but difficult for Sam to have to go on there and cover us for quite a length of the game. So
how
was Mason? He's got an ankle injury at the moment, so not too sure how bad it is. So probably need to be scanned tomorrow.
Despite their poor run, Gatland is not considering his position as Wales head coach.
You can write about that. So the pressure doesn't come it comes externally. It comes basically from the media, because that's a narrative that you create, and that's okay from where I sit. So you'd have to take. I honestly believe, and we've said for the last 12 months since the World Cup, in terms of the number of players and the experience that we've lost since the World Cup, that we were going to invest in a group of youngsters that we felt that we could build with and take us on, and we've seen a lot of development from those youngsters. And we've said that we need a little bit of patience, a bit of time, but I understand that Test match rugby is about performing, about winning. So, you know, you control the narrative and write what you want, and I'll see whatever's there.
Former Wales international Jake Ball has announced he'll retire from rugby next year. He'll walk away from the sport at the end of Japan Rugby League One's season, where he plays for the NEC Green Rockets. Ball represented Wales 50 times and won his last cap back in 2021, just before finishing his 9-year spell with the Scarlets. South Africa rounded off a dreadful weekend for the Six Nations teams that aren't France. Makosele Mapimpi bookended the week in which he hinted at his impending retirement by scoring a pair of tries in a 32-15 win over Scotland at Murrayfield. His head coach, Razzy Erasmus, paid a glowing tribute to the 34-year-old winger.
Yeah, I know, he's a special guy, you know, and sometimes it's tough. You know, kind of guy like Edwold hasn't really played a lot. He had an injury, was in camp with us. Guy like Kieran Horn, fullback, you know, we're so close to getting Willy to his 100th match. We know what form Fussy is in. He didn't play today. But as a team, we're a bit like a family as well, you know. Mapimpi is one of us, and there's certain guys knocking really hard on the door, and we know Cheslin and Kirtley are class, and we know there's a few other wingers that we could have brought on tour. But a three-week tour was maybe a bit different than an incoming tour. We can have them 5 weeks in camp. They learn really our culture. So as long as we can look after Mapimpi and he scores tries and get Willy to his 100th test match, there's sometimes some emotional connection with players, with the whole management team, coaching staff. And when we have the opportunity, we try and make it special for them. And it will be a sad day when Mapimpi is done one day, because he always produces.
And Erasmus is wary of facing a wounded animal in England this coming weekend.
But Twickenham will be a different challenge. You know, that's 80,000 people. That's a different kind of pressure. It's a very desperate team. We've lost two matches now against Australia. Probably ranking-wise is not up there, but we know where they're going with Joe Smith. But they'll be very desperate to win. I think Scotland were 5 on the bounce now, which they won. Weren't they 5 unbeaten matches, Scotland, before they played us? It would have been their 6th win if they beat us. And I think England is now that desperate team who almost beat New Zealand, who almost beat Australia. So, yeah, it's going to be a very, very tough game. We'll be selecting internally tomorrow and announcing probably the day after. For you guys, but no, there's a tough one. We rested the two packs for reasons, because we also want the team to be fresh, the pack of forwards, with the 6-day turnaround. And obviously guys like Jesse and Damien, those guys Cheslin will come into the reckoning for that game.
Scotland lock Scott Cummings could be ruled out of their test with Portugal this coming Saturday. He must appear before a disciplinary committee after being given a 20-minute red card for a crock roll on his opposite number Franco Mostert early in yesterday's game. Glasgow number 8 Jack Dempsey looks set to miss the remainder of Scotland's month after suffering a shoulder injury yesterday. Also pulling out of Gregor Townsend's squad are his clubmates Max Williamson and Gregor Brown. Townsend has called up front rowers Alec Hepburn and Johnny Matthews instead. Finally, former France forward Abdel Benazi has received significant support in his bid to replace Bill Beaumont as president of World Rugby. According to Rugbyrama, Benazi received just under 50% support of the Rugby Europe board during their AGM. In a second round of voting, after the candidacy of Italy's Andrea Rinaldo was dismissed, Benazi received 66% of the Rugby Europe vote to 33% for former Wallabies international Brett Robinson. Robinson is the favourite candidate of the New Zealand Rugby Federation, with the two votes of Rugby Europe going to Benazi when the World Rugby elections are held on Thursday. That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feed to keep this podcast coming to you free of charge, Monday to Friday. My name is Richie McCormack. I'll be back with more Rugby Daily for you, with thanks to Bank of Ireland, tomorrow. Till then, thanks for listening.